I'd like to start with prayer because I'm very, very nervous. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how you've helped us and for these thoughts you've given us. We ask that you would help us bring them in a way that you'd have us bring. Help us not to say anything you wouldn't have us to do, say, and just please be with us. In Jesus' name we ask you, amen. So, Lane, can you come up here? While he's coming, if I had to title my thoughts tonight, I would entitle them, What Do You Know? And so, my friend Lane Friesner here is going to take a test. But you guys need to take it along with him. So, I'm going to ask a question, and if you know the answer, raise your hand, and then he's going to answer it. Okay. What is 2 plus 2?
Oh, I get to pick?
No, you get to
answer. Oh, I get to answer. Oh, okay. 4.
Okay.
I think.
Now, he's going to draw it, but who here knows what a triangle is?
Is this some kind of test? Is the math
thing? There we go. Okay. Now, we're going to pick it up a level.
Okay.
Who here knows what kind of animals do not have belly buttons?
What?
Do you know?
Marsupials?
Animals that lay eggs. Who here knows what boanthropy is?
What? This is all made up stuff.
Your bones hurt?
No.
This is all made up stuff.
Boanthropy is a physical disorder, psychological disorder, sorry, in which patients believe they are a cow. And it's the disorder commonly associated with King Nebuchadnezzar. You can sit down.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. So,
you just made this stuff up.
I know that sounded a little funny, but there was a reason. Why did everyone here know the answer to those first two questions and not the second two?
Basic human sense
of know. So, one definition of know, K-N-O-W, not N-O, is be aware of through observation, inquiry, or information. We all know those first two questions because it's something we've all looked into. But I doubt that many of you have done a Google search on boanthropy. In order to know any kind of information, we must do work to figure it out. The same is true for spiritual knowledge. In order to know what we need to know as Christians, we have to do the work. We have to read and study the Word. If you would turn with me to 2 Timothy 2 and 5. It says, I have the wrong verse. Yes, 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we all, not this was written to young Timothy, who was a pastor, but we all, not just pastors, need to not only know enough to be approved unto God, but also to rightly divide it should people in the world come asking to us, wondering what we have. And we'll get to more of that later. So the next question I'd like to pose to you is, what do we as Christians need to know? If you would turn with me to Matthew 4:4. It's probably going to take me longer to get there than most of you, but it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So Jesus is saying here that we would live, spiritually speaking, by every, I repeat, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to know every word of God, and we need to do it well enough to, as it was mentioned before in 2 Timothy, rightly divide it should come when someone come asking to us for the truth. And I'd like to point out that the scriptures don't say proceeded in the past tense as in just what's in the word. But it says proceedeth, which is the continual tense, meaning what he said in the past, what he's saying to us now, and what he will say to us in the future. We have to follow all knowledge given or shown to us. Also, it's interesting to point out that Jesus quoted the scripture while he was in the middle of a temptation. If we know the scriptures and we know the word of God, we will be able to use them when the devil comes against us.
Right.
If you would turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Right.
All scripture is given.
Right.
So the next question I have is, why is it important that we know the word of God? 1 Peter 3:15, in the second half of that verse, it says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So why do we need to know every word? So we're ready to give an answer. Also, if we don't know the word of God, how can we witness to others? First of all, if we don't know the word of God, we can't talk about it.
Right.
If we don't know the word of God, then we can't live it.
Right.
And if we don't know the word of God, we won't be able to answer questions about it.
That's true.
I also had this thought, and I'm sure a minister brought it in a message, but I can't remember who it was. But if someone comes to us and says that they would like to be saved, would we have the knowledge to help them then and there, or would we have to send them to someone else and say, sorry, I can't help you, I don't know? Now, knowledge and information isn't the only thing we know. We can also know a person. So I have another definition of know, and it is have a developed a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them. I'm gonna have to skip around a little bit here, sorry. In order to know God, we must spend time with him and develop our relationship with him. Luke 18:1 is my next scripture. And it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is the way that God gets to know us. And then I also have here, reading and meditation is the way we get to know God. It's a two-way street. And we must know God so we can hear God. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If we don't know God, how can we hear and understand his voice or his word? The better we know God, the easier it is for him to speak to us and give us understanding on his word. I also have a note here. There is a difference between knowing someone and knowing of someone. If I asked here who knew of Donald Trump, how many, raise your hands if you know of Donald Trump. Now, if I ask how many of you know Donald Trump, I see zero absolute hands. A few. The same can be true of God. There are many people who know of God. And if you ask someone, do you know who God is? They can say yes. But we as Christians have the privilege and the honor of truly knowing God. We know who he is. We know how he is. We've heard him speak to us. I've always been amazed by how personable God can be. So my next point is, how can we gain knowledge? If you would turn with me to Proverbs 1:7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So this verse reveals two ways that we can get knowledge. The first is we need to start by fearing God. When we fear, or in this passage of scripture, it just means to respect, basically, God. we will be willing to listen to what he has to say and gain the knowledge he has for us. So, if you don't respect your teachers in school, how likely are you to be listening to what they're telling you and trying to teach you? Well, what if you don't respect God? Will you be listening for his voice? Will you be paying attention in service? We need to be respectful of God, and that is the beginning of getting knowledge. The second half of this verse tells us that another way to gain knowledge is through instruction. And if we're talking about random knowledge, we can get it from many places: school, the internet, etc. And so I wrote down a few places we can get spiritual instruction from: Sunday school, services, and I'd like to point out that we have to be there to get the help and instruction they offer. We can get instruction from our pastors, our youth leaders, our parents, and other people who will give us godly counsel. And so there's no shortage of ways to get knowledge. If you would turn with me to John 14, 5 through 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Thomas asked a question: how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. And so this reveals that no matter what we need to know, we can go to God, because he's not only the way, but he's also the truth. Now, I'd like to point out that we all learn in different ways. Brother Steve isn't here, so I can't ask him this question. But if I asked if he writes and says, like if he were to write on the board and say what he's trying to teach his students, he probably also has handouts or something, he'd probably say yes. Does anyone know why he would do that? Trey? Some people learn by seeing, others people learn by doing, and some people learn through hearing.
Right.
We need to find and know the best way for us to learn so that we can not only learn, but also retain what we learn. And so, what could this look like? Well, if we know that if we just listen to a message, we won't remember any of it, it might be smart to take notes or follow along in your Bible. So next, I want to talk about the difference between knowing and knowing. Most of us here, sorry, I'd like to just check that. Most of us here were raised in the church, and we know how a Christian should act, and we know what is right and what is wrong. However, in order to truly know what we ought, we must study them out and get these truths for ourselves. How dangerous it is, and how careful we have to be with this. I've caught myself just walking the walk and talking the talk because that's what I was supposed to do. And when we get in that situation, when people ask us a question, we'll have to say, well, that's the way my church teaches it. This will lead, and we've seen it lead some in the past, to falling, because the minute our knowledge is tried or tested, we have nothing to stand on. We must have our own convictions. We're not getting to heaven on our parents' coattails. And if we do not get these truths for ourselves, then anyone will be able to convince us that we are wrong. And there are a lot of people out there who want to do that. College professors, friends or people in false religion, unsaved family, backslidden loved ones, and a multitude of other. I probably could never exhaust the list. If you would turn with me to Ephesians 4, 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight, or I have a footnote in my Bible that says trickery, of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Coming to the knowledge of God and truly knowing those things that are right, that's really the only way to protect us from the worldly wise and those who want to deceive and lead us astray. Next, I have a question. Do we know the value and importance of the truth we have? Proverbs 4 and 7, if you turn with me there. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The scripture says wisdom or knowledge is the principal or most important thing. Knowledge of the truth is what our salvation is based on. If we did not know what Christ died to save us, we wouldn't know how or that we could be saved. Without knowledge of the truth, there would be no way to be saved. Many men and women have died for the truth that we have today. Many of the apostles were executed for their truth. There are countless martyrs who died standing for the truth. And there are those yet today who hide and risk their lives preaching the truth. Sister Sherry brought out the brother from Romania that testified in Oregon who had to stuff pillows in the windows when they prayed so they wouldn't get caught or overheard. And this thought really struck me. Do we really realize what we have here?
Amen.
The scripture says that truth is the most important thing.
Amen.
What is an object that you think is most important? Parents, your children? Anyone have any other examples? Something you think is the most important thing?
Fellowship.
What about an object? Something that's so dear that you would do anything to protect it? Any examples? Your books. A phone.
My car.
Your car. Okay. How do we treat those objects? Do we protect it at all costs, even to the point of our own injury and possible death? Now, do we stand for the truth the same we do those objects? Are we willing to stand for the truth even though it hurts us some way or could lead to our possible death? We should. Wisdom or knowledge or truth is the most important thing. How are we treating the truth we have? Then, since knowledge is the most important thing, we need to get wisdom. But the scripture in Proverbs 4:7 says, not only gain wisdom, but also gain understanding, that we could truly know the truth and hold on to it. So I hope my thoughts were an encouragement and a challenge to you, that if you take the time and make sure that you truly know these things that you need to know, it won't only be a blessing to you, but it'll help God use you and keep you safe and saved in a world that is waxing worse and worse.
Thank you, Lord, for the very, very challenging message. And it certainly is a challenge. It's a lot to live up to and to truly know. And I was thinking of kind of along the idea of the thought that he brought at the beginning, which was one of the definitions, to know somebody by spending time with them. You know, your friends, maybe a girlfriend or boyfriend, or, you know, to know any sort of knowledge in school, you have to spend time with that. And I thought of knowing somebody's voice, knowing it's God's voice, and I thought of three very distinct voices you might hear in the congregation. You might hear Brother Reggie's "right," or Brother Rain's "that's right," or Brother Hupp's "amen." But why do you know these things? Because you've been around these people,
right?
Before. and you know their voice, you would have no idea who they were. Say you went to Cedar Point or something like that, and somebody's saying something next to you. You don't know their voice. You don't pay any attention to it. And it's the same way with God. If we're not around Him, if we don't spend time with Him, we're not going to pay any attention to Him, even if He's saying anything to us. We're not going to know what it sounds like. And the same way with God's Word, you know, you can't put the Bible under your pillow at night, sleep on it, and know what's inside the Bible. You have to spend time in the Word. And this is a message to myself as well. So it's a challenge. We have to spend time there. We have to spend time with God so that I know what His voice sounds like. And then when it's quiet, and then when it's the trial, then we have the Word of God to help us. Then we can hear that still small voice. And it's helpful. And so it's definitely a challenge to make sure that we know what we believe, what we stand for, why we are the way that we are, and why we do the things that we do. And so it was a very, very good message. I appreciate it, Brother Lucas. Yes.